this Mataji, maybe could just move a little over to the ladies' side. Not you, you're okay, just the... I heard this morning Prahladananda Swami was answering a query on the formula that Srila Prabhupada gave, 16 plus 4 equals BTG. You all know that one? 16 plus 4 equals BTG. 16 rounds, 4 regulated principles, go back to Godhead. So he was commenting. Often devotees ask me about this and they say, well, that's all you have to do. That means you can eat sausages also and still, vegetarian sausage, and still go back to Godhead. But I always answer that if you don't do all the other things, then you won't be able to maintain the 16 rounds and 4 regulated principles, which means you won't go back to Godhead. So, but the prospect is there. What is the aim of our life? Oh, what is the aim of life that Srila Prabhupada almost literally gave his blood to instill in us? The aim is Tyaktva Dehang Punar Naiti Mam Eti Sojana, to go to Krishna. We hear about Krishna. There are so many descriptions. Shriya Kanta Kanta Paramapurusha Kalpataro Druma Bhumishchintamani Ganamayi Tayamamritam, etc. The spiritual world where Kataganam, talking is singing, Natyam Gaman, walking is dancing, the flute is the dear companion, Krishna is there. The idea is that after giving up this body, we're supposed to go to Krishna. That's the aim, right? No more talking about it, thinking about it, wondering if it's really true or not. We're supposed to go to Krishna. At least to join Krishna in his Leela that also Maharaj was talking about. How there are different gopis, and some of them are Nitya Siddha gopis, and others are Rishichari gopis, and different kinds of gopis, the Yajna Sitas, and all that. Different kinds of gopis who are just joining Krishna Leela. And so one takes birth in a universe within the material world where Krishna is having his pastimes, and then, which is with being with Krishna directly, but just some final level of purification, and then go back to the spiritual world to live there eternally. So that's the prospect. And another thing we can add to this discussion is that we don't live very long. We're all going to die soon. You're going to die soon. I said that once at a program in London. Someone was being a little stroppy, challenging like this. And I said to him, you're going to die soon. And everyone became, you know, what do you say that for? It's like, you know, is that like it's a curse or something. It's not a curse, it's just true for everyone. We're all going to die soon. You know, you're sitting here arguing, but just consider the fact. You're going to die soon. And at that time, nahi nahi rakshati dukrin karane. All your arguing won't help you at that time. So we're all going to die soon. Even our young brahmacharis, they become older. And then you die. And if we've cultivated Krishna consciousness, then Srila Prabhupada described that for a Vaishnava, dying means it's like going to sleep and you wake up and you're in the spiritual world with Krishna. So that is the prospect. That's where we're supposed to be going. So it's very close. Days go by. The evening will come. The sunset will come. We'll wake up in the morning, we presume. One day after another goes, and then eventually we're on the threshold of death, and then we pass away. We're all on the threshold of death, but it all goes very quickly. And then where do we go? We're supposed to go to Krishna. So if we do everything that we're supposed to do, we should, that's the promise. Of course, it's no guarantee with this. It all depends on the mercy of Guru and Krishna. But we are supposed to be joining Krishna very soon. As Prabhupada said, the aim of this Krishna conscious movement is to join the Supreme Lord in His pleasure dance. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Right? And Srila Prabhupada was once asked, that will we actually go back to Godhead? And Prabhupada said, well, we're working so hard to send everyone else back to Godhead, so why shouldn't we go? So, if we think about it, we're actually very close to, we should be very close to going back to Godhead. It's just a few days, I mean, less than one sneeze of Lord Brahma. In the time that Lord Brahma sneezes, we'd probably go through quite a few births. But this is supposed to be our last birth, as Srila Prabhupada often said. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur often said, act in such a way that we don't get born again. Make this your last birth. Don't come back again. So, we should be very soon all dancing with Krishna. Or maybe being a piece of grass waiting for Krishna to come and place His lotus feet. And instead of being like, he was saying, more humble than a blade of grass, instead of trying to be more humble than a blade of grass, actually being a blade of grass, waiting for Krishna to come and place His lotus feet on us. So that's what we're supposed to be doing. So, we're very close to being with Krishna. And at that time, all the different things we're thinking about now, we'll just forget it. Whether or not the Croatian football team will win their next game, well, if we're thinking about that, then we're not going to be dancing with Krishna. And that's the problem, isn't it? We're very close to Krishna, but we're very far away also, because just one small thing, we have to be free from all desires, attachments, misconceptions, and all of a sudden that very closeness appears to be like a great, it's very close, but like an impenetrable barrier, seems like that. These scientists, among their speculations, they have that of parallel universes. There may be so many universes going on right here and now which we're not aware of, because it's according to certain speculations of certain scientists. This is what they call science. There may be various universes going on right here which we're completely unaware of, but when we have no entry into that, because we're not aware of it. So it's close, but we have no access to it. Or a more common example is that this material world is like a prison. So it might be just like in that book, Salted Bread. Who read that book, Salted Bread? Is it in Croatian also? It's a very impressive book, isn't it? And real, Real life stories are always more impressive than novels. So there was, there's a description there, looking out at the, you can look out at the prison and you can see outside, but you can't go outside. So you can see the outside world, but yet there's a barrier in between. So we can see through the descriptions of Shastra, the spiritual world, we can see here, I can see here, you can see there, according to where you're sitting. Oh, we can all see here. A window into the spiritual world. Krishna is dancing with the gopis. So we can see, this is reality. We can see that, but there's a barrier that stops us going. Is our desire to remain, our desire to remain in this world, our enculturation to this material world. In other words, we are accustomed to think of this world as our, as reality. And to remain attached to that. And some little realization I've been having recently, I just discussed this a little bit with Sankirtan Prabhu from Czech, is that, well, I was recently in America, and I like preaching there, especially the young men who come, and they're, I mean, not all of them, but some are very, very open to Krishna consciousness, and they may have so many wrong ideas, but they're influenced by Mayavad and so many different things. Not classical Mayavad, but you know, American Mayavad. But they're like innocent, and you can see they can be preached to. They become can become devotees, and I feel very. I feel like I like to preach there, because I feel, and maybe it's some because of some cultural. What should I say? Enculturation, because the kind of mentality that I have. Of course, I was raised in this lifetime in England, but somehow or other, I prefer America to England. I find the British people too complicated for me. Americans are more straightforward. And then Sankirtan was saying, I like to. And one reason is language also. I mean, I'm in India and plenty of people there speak something which they call English, which I can more or less understand and discuss with them. And I speak Bengali and Hindi, and I can speak with them, and I like to, preaching is preaching, and that's nice. Wherever it is, we like to see people take to Krishna consciousness. But there's a natural kind of communication with people who you speak with in the same tongue that you were raised with. So Sankirtan said that also, he likes to preach in Czech, same language, and you can understand the mentality like that. So that I was thinking about that just after this. I recently visited America. I was there less than 2 months ago. How even after taking to Krishna consciousness, our cultural background influences us considerably. And the way we view the world, our preferences, what we consider is proper and improper. There's so many facets. I mean, culture is so multifaceted. Just one devotee was standing here holding his child. He's gone away now. But I just thought, you never see people in India holding their child like that. In America also I saw them. The way that people hold their children, it's like they don't have any idea how to hold them properly. It's like they're going to injure them the way they can. Did you ever notice that in the West, the way the mothers and the pets, they don't know how to hold their children properly. They don't support them properly. They don't know how to hold their head properly, so their head's all lolling back, and sometimes, you know, they throw them up in the air. All kinds of strange things. So, the cultural... Yeah, at that point, yeah, they don't support their head, and the head's just lolling back like this. So, the cultural... What is the word? Inculturation. That's the word. The word. In the inculturation, it's the mentality that we imbibe. I mean, even that you could say in a positive sense that I like to preach in America. That's a positive aspect of it, but. It goes very deeply. That devotees also notice that Srila Prabhupada seemed to be... That's commonly stated by devotees who are with Prabhupada both in America and in India. That although he was always totally transcendental and Krishna conscious, it was as if he was at home in India. He could act in a natural way with people because... They understood, like Prabhupada, he came to America and he studied the culture before he started to preach and this and that. So, but he could very naturally interact with people in India, just like one time Srila Prabhupada was discussing with some of his disciples, and one of the disciples said he was at the job, he was doing some job, and the boss didn't like him, so the boss fired him. And Prabhupada was shocked. He said, "What? He shot you?" So you don't all understand that because you don't understand English well enough. But to fire someone means to, in English, we say that we sacked them. It means you were ejected from the job, kicked out. What do they say in Indian English? What's the word? Thrown out of your job. I can't remember. What's this? Kicked out, is it? Yeah. Yeah, sacked is the word in British. Fired, they say fired, yeah. No, but in Indian English they say they fired you. That can also mean like scolding you. Or the, like that. So that... I'll give another example. That one devotee told me years ago, one godbrother of ours, Sannyasi, he had already been in the movement like 10, 12 years at the time, which in those days was a long time. When I joined, a devotee in the movement 4 years was a very senior devotee, because the movement had only been going on in England for 6 years at that time, so... So a four-year devotee was very senior. So this sannyasi, he was driving early in the morning in a taxi with a group of devotees in Delhi. And in those days, in the cities of India, street lights were few and far between and mostly didn't work. And even if they did, they didn't give out much light. So most of the streets were pretty dark at night. And even today, often the traffic coming the other way, only one headlamp works, or neither of them works. So it's quite dangerous driving, especially at night. So they were driving along in the taxi, and through the dark streets, when all of a sudden in front of them they noticed there was a truck coming the other way, and it was just very close, and it was going very fast, straight at them. Now, I think one reason people in India, they still believe in God, is that even though the number of people that die in road accidents is quite high, it should actually be a lot higher. It's like a miracle escapes. Forget Sai Baba. Miracle escapes in Indian traffic are just normal. I mean, it's quite a normal thing. You know, you're going in an auto rickshaw and you're going right at something, and just at the last minute they swerve and they miss, you know, they just miss and they go like this. So the taxi driver just at the last, you know, they were just going straight at him, and then somehow or other they both swerved and they missed. But just as they're about to hit, it looks like they're about to hit this sannyasi, who's still a sannyasi in ISKCON, he's 70 years old now. He called out, "Jesus, Mary, Joseph!" All the devotees were chanting japa, and then all of a sudden, "Jesus, Mary, Joseph!" And then they were again chanting japa. And they said, "Well, I didn't say that for at least 20 years." But it emerged out of his subconscious. That's described the Vedic psychology, that the very deep within the consciousness, like a very deep lake in the mud at the bottom, there are so many vasanas, which means desire. In a stockpile form. That's kutam bijam. That's described in the. So the kuta is like it means a hill, just like we say annakut. So there's like a stockpile of material desires which are very deep in the heart. Kutam bijam falonmukam. Yeah, those are the stages. So they're very deep within the heart, and we may not even be aware of them. And then there's a very deep another. They're very deep samskar, which samskar means literally means an impression. So everything we see, every moment, there is sensory perceptions, seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, tasting, feeling, and they all make some impression within the consciousness. And even if we think of something or imagine something or something we see on TV, it makes an impression. Some of them are very strong. Some of them you just can't get out of your mind. That's what that's maybe called like a traumatic condition, where you just can't stop seeing. One devotee told me some time ago, he was driving from Vallabhidyanagar to Baroda on the back road, and he saw someone commit suicide. He jumped in. He saw someone who just happened to be saying, he saw someone just jump in front of a truck. He saw him commit suicide, and he just couldn't get out of his mind. You told me also that Sankirtan had given you some video of live, like deaths and murders that have been caught on.
Famous TV show called Faces of Death.
Faces of Death, some video that they had recorded people actually dying on, I mean, violent deaths, like someone being murdered and things like this. So you're saying you saw that, and it's like months and months, you just couldn't get it out of your consciousness, because it makes such a deep impression. So some things are very deep, and some things they may be very subtle, and you don't even know they're there. You may think you've forgotten all about it. Sometimes even things you see, and it happens quite often to me that something I dreamed about, which isn't even a real impression, but you remember some dream that you dreamed about years and years ago. You ever had that? You remember something you dreamed about years and years ago? Or there's something else, you think of a dream. You think of something and you're not sure, was that a dream or was it real? And just can't remember. It all gets mixed up. Which goes to show, actually, that dreams and reality, they're both real. Or they're both false. They're both as real. Dreams and what we see in dreams and what we see in so-called real life are both as real as each other, and they're both as false as each other. They all get mixed up in the subconsciousness. So in between all these sanskars and vasanas, these impressions mix with our desires our basic desire to enjoy this material world, and that forms various vasanas, or a deep stockpile of desires, which surface, they're regularly popping up within our consciousness as explicit desires. We have general desires to enjoy this world, and then that may come up, that may form into various explicit desires. For instance, if we see a beautiful woman, that the general desire to exploit and enjoy this world becomes focused on the body of that particular woman. So in this way, and then that creates more sanskar, the desire to enjoy, or if we actually fulfill our desire by enjoying with that woman, and then that creates more. And it goes on and on and on and on, and it's a great cycle, and it appears to be reality, and it so much overwhelms our consciousness that we take it to be our actual identity. And we identify ourselves with that, just like the famous saying, I think, I am aware, therefore I exist. But what is that awareness? The present awareness we have is in relationship to this body, and the particular body we have, we go through one set of desires in one particular kind of body. Shrotram chakshu sparshanam cha rasanam ghranam eva cha adhishtanam manas chayam. What's the last line? Vishaya anupasevati. That we get, in each birth we get a certain faculty of seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, tasting, a certain kind of mind by which we try to enjoy the senses. And it seems real to us. When we get the body of a pig, I speak here from personal experience. We've all had it, but I can't remember it, but it's somewhere there in my past consciousness. That I become maddened with desire on seeing the body of a she pig. And to me, the whole goal of life is to somehow or other, I have to attack that she pig and fulfill the demand of my genital. So just see the power of Maya, that in the body of a pig one becomes very eager to eat stool and enjoy the body of a sow. That's called, she pig is called a sow. There you are, you probably all learned one word in English there. Now isn't that ridiculous? There are some perverted people who like to have sex with animals, human beings. That's called perverted. But for a pig, it's like the most normal thing to enjoy with a sheep. Well, guess what? The same attraction we have for the female body of a human, it's the same thing that the pig has for the sheep. It's the same Maya. But just that we think it's real and proper and natural and normal. So we're very close to Krishna. But we just have to stop being pigs, that's all. I guess there must be pigs in the spiritual world also. But they won't be ugly pigs. Varahadeva is there. He's not ugly. Varahadeva is very beautiful. There's a painting by who is that? B.N. Sharma, is it? Is that one of them? There's B.N. Sharma, there's B.N.K. Sharma, who's the Madhva scholar. So B.N. Sharma, he's painted the Dashavatar. So he's painting of Varaha. And Varahadeva has manifested in the in the painting of B.N. Sharma, very beautiful form. So Varaha Dev is very beautiful, and the perverted reflection of that is just a pig. That's all. So we're close to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada has given us the formula how to come to Krishna. We're very close. We can go. That's it. Prabhupada is calling. Go back to Godhead. So very close. But so many desires, and we're not even aware. We're not even aware of how many desires we have, how deep they are, how many there are, how deep they are, how subtle they are within our consciousness. And even many times we may consider that what we're thinking is Krishna consciousness, it's actually, we may be, you could say, tricked by Maya, or actually we have agreed to be tricked by Maya into thinking that something is Krishna consciousness when it isn't. It's very easy. Maya just tricks us. Or like I say, we agree to be tricked, although we don't, we may not be even clearly aware that we're being tricked. Just like, for instance, that saying is there, power corrupts. Although actually power doesn't corrupt. It didn't corrupt Yudhishthira Maharaj. He didn't become corrupted. But rather, power gives the opportunity to manifest the corruption which is already there in the heart. So we see in Krishna Conscious Movement also, not necessarily power, we see someone joins as a young, humble brahmachari, and after some time they get some position. And then what happened to the humble brahmachari? Okay. So when one gets the opportunity to lord it over others, Srila Prabhupada hears that phrase, to lord it over, to dominate others, then we may think that, well, it's good for the Krishna consciousness of others for me to dominate them. And that may be true in some cases. But it can be that the... And even in the beginning, that Harishwara Prabhu was, he spoke about that the other night, how devotees, they may have a desire to serve the Sankirtan mission, but that gets mixed up with some less laudable desires, and the whole thing becomes a mess. So, kshurasya dhara nishita duratyaya durgang patastat kavayo vadanti. It's a razor's edge path. Kshurasya dhara nishita duratyaya. Very difficult path to traverse. Durgang patastya. The learned person says it's a very difficult path to traverse. Of course, there's the well-known saying of Srila Prabhupada, that Prabhupada said, just catch a hold of my dhoti, and I'll take you back to Godhead. But that also, that saying, that there's another saying that Prabhupada said that, what is that, the gate to Vaikuntha is very difficult to go through, but I have the key to the back door, Prabhupada said. So, and that's a fact. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is flowing through Srila Prabhupada. But we shouldn't take that cheaply either. We shouldn't think, well, Prabhupada's so merciful, so I can, you know, kick on his face and ignore him, insult him, and not follow his instructions, and then anyway Prabhupada will take me back to Godhead, because he loves us all. Yeah, he loves us all. That's why he comes and instructs us and gives us the instructions. by which we may become purified. If we say that, well, it's just all mercy, and then why? That's what Prabhupada said about Jesus. That why the Christians, if they actually love Jesus, why don't they follow his instructions? They invented this philosophy that you just believe in Jesus, and Jesus will save you. And there's actually a whole school of so-called theology, Christian theology, who think it's wrong to try to... Well, there's the path of faith and the path of act. So there are those who say that you should just believe in Jesus and he will deliver you. And there are others say, no, you have to do good works. So according to some supposed to be Christians, if you just believe in Jesus, then even if you're a very sinful person, Jesus will deliver you. But if you don't believe in Jesus and you're very good, then you go to hell. That's the idea. That the main thing is to believe in Jesus. But then why did he give so many instructions? That's the point. If it's just a matter of... It is a matter of mercy, but that mercy is manifested in the form of instructions that will... What are these instructions given? Just like in the Nectar of Devotion, there are 64 basic angas or limbs of devotional service. There are do nots and do this and do not do this. Positive injunctions and negative injunctions. Vidhi, this should be done. Nisheda, this should not be done. So those rules and regulations are there to prepare the consciousness, to purify the consciousness, so that we will be suitable for transfer to the spiritual world. That's the whole point. If we say it's just a matter of mercy, well, it is a matter of mercy. That the acharyas come to pick us up from this world. But they do so by preparing our consciousness. Because even if someone is taken, alright, you'll come to the spiritual world, but they won't want to go. If we take someone who likes to eat sausages, just as an example, and if you ask them to come to the spiritual world or drink beer, then if you ask them to the spiritual world, they won't want to go. And they won't be fit for going, because they'll go there and, you know, Krishna will be eating his lunch with laddu and pakora and samosa and luchi chini sharpuri, laddu rasha bali and all these things. And where's the sausages? Oh, you have to go back down there to get the sausages. There are no sausages here. So the mercy may be there, but if we don't, you know, if we're not prepared to take it, then the mercy won't help us. The mercy is there for everyone, but the mercy is to prepare us for going to the spiritual world. And that requires some preparation. The same mercy is there for everyone, but we have to take it. And taking it means not just verbally, just like in Christians say, I believe in Jesus. You have to be bathed in the blood of Jesus. I don't think you heard this much in Croatia, do you? That's like more Protestant thing. Sounds horrible. I don't know what it means. I don't think they know what it means either. Sounds horrible. What kind of religion is that? You want to get bathed in the blood of Jesus. It's just like some slogan. So much of religion is slogan. It's like in Hinduism, Jato Mot Toto Pot. Some slogan. Or Jesus loves you. What's that? Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Well, that's a little bit philosophical. Jesus loves you. Just some slogan, but Soham, Shivoham, Madhava Seva, Manava Seva. Yeah, just some slogans, but there's no real understanding behind it. You know what that means? Manava Seva is Manava seva, madhava seva means service to man is service to God. So some slogans, but no actual understanding, and just taking it very cheaply, some jingles. It's like cartoon level religion. It's suitable for people who watch cartoons. That's all. But their consciousness doesn't develop beyond that. So, preparate the mercy is to prepare the consciousness for going to Krishna, which means anyabhilashita shunyam, no desire other than to please Krishna. So then we have to know what Krishna wants. What does Krishna want us to do? We have to prepare our consciousness to be in line with what Krishna wants for us. That's the whole training in Krishna consciousness. And then later, when we're trained in that principle, then we can be transferred to a universe where Krishna is having his pastimes, and we can enact that principle in the body of a gopi or a gopa or various forms. So, understanding the consciousness, what it means to please Krishna, what does Krishna want us to do? What does Krishna want us to do? Not what do we want to do. What's the minimum I can get away with? Can you do this and still go back to Godhead? It's like, but this kind of question is the wrong question altogether. This verse is often quoted. This akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradhi. It's often that whether you are full of desires, desire liberation, or have no desires, you should worship Krishna. So that's often quoted to say, well, it's all, you see, I have all kinds of desires, but it's okay because the Srimad Bhagavatam says you can worship Krishna even with all desires. But then the next word is tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushang param. Whether one is full of material desires, has no material desires, or desires liberation, which is something in between those two situations. One should tivrena, means with great intensity, perform bhakti yoga. So it doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that if one can be full of material desires and sometimes in the middle of enacting all your material desires, you remember to say Hare Krishna, and that's the same as that's good enough. But first of all, it says bhakti yogena yajita purusham param. One should, by the method of bhakti yoga, which means all the practices, one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And not only does it mean following all the rules and regulations of bhakti yoga, but tivrena, with great intensity. So this idea that one can just have all material desires and you can worship Krishna and it's just all the same. So you don't have to follow all these things, it's just all the same, doesn't make any difference. But that's not what the Bhagavatam says. You see, with such a cheating mentality, they want to... You see, we're quoting Srimad Bhagavatam here, where it's highly authorized. And they don't care for Srimad Bhagavatam. They care for their own perverted material desires. But they're citing the spotless evidence of the Srimad Bhagavatam to try to justify their being a pig in human form, preparing for pig life. So that's called insincerity. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says that we should remain 100 cubits away from insincere people. You should not associate with insincere people. So often devotees ask, well, what should we associate with devotees who this, this, that, that? I would say, no, you don't. It's not all the same. It's not all the same. All this, everyone's all the same. It's not that everyone's all the same. And they say, well, you shouldn't judge devotees. But then Rupa Goswami says that we should. Bhagavatam says that we should. Rupa Goswami says that we should behave differently with Kanishta Adhikaris, Madhyam Adhikaris, Uttam Adhikaris. We should know how to recognize them. So we should mentally offer obeisance to persons who are some kind of devotees, Kanishta Adhikaris, and those who are Dikshasti Chet Panatipis Shabajantamisham, those who are initiated, we offer obeisances to them. So does that mean that just someone's initiated, they sat in a ceremony and all of a sudden they're on a different level? I understand this, that by Diksha here is meant that Dika Kale Bhakta Kare Atta Samarpan, that the real Diksha is the sankalpa, the vow or the determination to fully surrender oneself to Krishna. And one who is completely free from all material desires, Nindadi Shunya, and who doesn't, he's free from the propensity to criticize others. That's a point I should note. We should fully surrender to. So we should know what the different levels of devotees are, so we can, it's not all the same. That is another kind of mayavad, to try and say that it's all the same. No, there are different levels of devotees. So we should associate with those devotees who are very serious to advancing Krishna consciousness. If we think that we're already advanced, then we can't advance, can we? If you think I'm already there, then we can't make any progress. Or if we think that, well, Prabhupada, it's something like Jesus, you just believe in him without, he'll deliver us, because he's very kind and he'll deliver us even if we don't follow very strictly, he'll deliver us. Then this isn't the kind of association that's going to help us. If we think we'll have a festive time in Krishna consciousness, which means we'll just have a feast, but no kirtan, no katha. Festival means kirtan, katha, special service to the deity. Forget all that, we'll just cook a feast. That's all. So that's very dangerous. So always the consciousness of sense gratification at all levels, that should be recognized and squashed, crushed, not to indulge in that. Now people suddenly get confused. They think, well, you're not supposed to be happy. Is it something like this Puritanism in the Protestant ethos? There was a Puritans who they were against any kind of enjoyment. If you tried to celebrate Christmas, they'd come around and stop you, because they think that you're not supposed to do that. It's just a fact. I mean, it's not anything to do with Christianity making. So anyway, the whole thing, the Christians, what a mess. What a mess. But they were against any kind of enjoyment. You know, you're not supposed to smile, you're not supposed to wear nice, you know, you should only wear black clothes. You ever wonder why English people, they like to wear black clothes? That's all coming from, you notice that? They all wear dark clothes, maybe less nowadays. But that's all coming from a long tradition of, you have to wear black clothes, maybe grey, like that, because there should be nothing, no kind of enjoyment whatsoever. But Krishna consciousness isn't like that. Krishna consciousness is joyful and colorful. But in relationship with Krishna, that's the point. Because Krishna is always happy, always colorful, always joyful, always laughing and joking and singing, playing tricks. So Krishna consciousness is also joyful, but the joy has to be clearly centered on Krishna. That's the point. Everything for Krishna's pleasure. Krishna te akila cheshta. Even if you don't learn many shlokas, you just learn this one line. It's not even a shloka. Krishna te akila cheshta. All endeavors should be for Krishna's sake. That's all. That's all. Very simple. Okay, any questions? Just understand this point. Just one point. Everything for Krishna's sake. And then automatically we're eligible to enter the spiritual world. Then there's no more big barrier. What is that big barrier between us and Krishna? Mamarte akila cheshta. All endeavors for my so-called own happiness. But we don't know who we are. Therefore, we have to understand. Jivesurupoi Krishna Nityadas. We're eternal parts and parcels of Krishna and his servant. Just understand these few points. Very simple points. And that's Krishna conscious. Everything is simple, clear and straightforward. Just get these few points right. Anaya Praha Tattvam. How are we to know what is real, what is a fact? Shastra, as delivered through the Acharyas, declares that knowledge comes from Shastra. So, what is that tattva? What is that knowledge? Well, the first point is that Krishna is supreme. He's all powerful. And he is an ocean of rasa. And there are the jivas. They are eternal parts and parcels of Krishna. Some are in Maya, and some are not in Maya. Some are liberated from Maya. All these different points are to be understood through the understanding bheda bheda, the understanding of simultaneous oneness and difference from Krishna. And the sadhana, what is the process to attain Krishna? Bhakti, bhakti yoga. The process of bhakti is the sadhana. And sadhyam, tat pritim. The goal of life is love of Krishna. So just these few points. That's all. Yes, so any questions? Yes.
What if we enjoy listening lectures?
If you enjoy listening to lectures. Well, if there are lectures which are according to the Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, then that is very good to enjoy such lectures. If we enjoy listening to the lectures. Recently I listened to a few minutes, actually only about two or three minutes. I couldn't listen to more of some well-known guru, so-called. He's over the hill. He's peaked. Peaked means he's come to the he's on the way down now. He's a popular guru. You know, they come, these popular gurus come up and then they go down because they have nothing to offer. In fact, opposite to having nothing to offer, they take the money out of your pocket. Not only do they have nothing to give you, but they take from you. So people come to realize that. Anyway, I listened to it. I think it was about 2 minutes. I couldn't listen to it anymore. So listening to that kind of lecture, if you take pleasure in that, there's something seriously wrong. But if we like listening to lectures that help us to advance on the path of Krishna consciousness, that is very good. We're not saying there shouldn't be likes and likes and dislikes. That's a misunderstanding. But that our likes and dislikes should be on the principle, everything should be on the principle of anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. This krishnate akila cheshta, all endeavors should be for Krishna's sake, that is expanded into anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. Everything that is favorable for Krishna consciousness should be accepted, and everything unfavorable should be rejected. So it's not that we are feeling less. Rather we are feeling full, which means that there are likes and dislikes. Krishna also has likes and dislikes. He likes shukta shakadi bhaji nalita kushmana, this kind of food, for instance. He doesn't like Kentucky fried chicken, for instance. We don't have any record of him liking such things. So Krishna has likes and dislikes. So likes and dislikes, yeah, that's always there. It's not that that's stopped, but the likes and dislikes are in relation to Krishna. So if we like to hear that which is conducive for our spiritual advancement, that's very good. Srila Prabhupada said the perfection of the sense of taste is to enjoy Krishna prasadam.
Maharaji said we should not associate with all devotees, that all they are not on equal level.
All devotees are not on equal level?
Yes.
Well, actually, let me qualify that statement. We can associate with devotees on different levels, but we should be very careful of associating intimately with that Narottam Das Thakur says, Jnani Karma Michha Bhakta. He classifies three classes of people not to associate. The Jnani, the so-called Jnani, someone who's interested in personal liberation. Karmi, someone who's interested in worldly religion. And Michha Bhakta, false devotee. Tate Sangha Anurakta, something like that, yeah.
Yes, my question is, I was thinking about this verse, Prema Maitri Kripa Upeksha,
yeah.
That amongst devotees is either Maitri, friendship, or giving mercy. And Upeksha is only for non-devotees.
Yeah. So the false devotees, they're actually classified with non-devotees.
Should see also false devotees in
ISKCON,
or is...
Well, it's not that just by, you know, living in a building that has a sign outside ISKCON, that one is automatically... it means that you're automatically a pure devotee. Just in case you hadn't noticed. Or that one who claims to belong to a certain... I mean, we don't find anywhere in Shastra that Krishna says that you have to join a particular organization and then you'll go back to Godhead or any such, but it's the state of consciousness. So, we can expect that within ISKCON there'll be all... It's practically inevitable that there will be some people who are Kalichalas or... Naka, what is that? Nakai tilak galai mala, shonge pore ek bala, shonge ek pore bala. This you'll have Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings about the Kali Chela, the disciple of Kali Yuga, who has tilak on his nose, this tulasi neck beads on his neck, and someone else's wife on his lap. So. Giving mercy to her by giving close association. So we should associate intimately with devotees, right? So it's inevitable that in any religious institution that there will be people who take advantage of that for their own personal aggrandizement, you see. An organization is necessary for preaching in the modern world, for spreading widely in the modern world. But organization means land, properties, money, manpower. What do they call that nowadays? Man and woman power? What's it called? People power?
Human resources.
Human resources. Is that what it's called? Sounds like they don't say manpower. Human resources. That gives the idea, like it's like oil as a resource, it's something to take out and exploit it. So, the person in charge, he or she, becomes complex, doesn't it? So where there's men, or people, and money, certain kind of person is attracted. Religion is the it's a great medium for exploiting people, because they tend to believe you, give you money, do what you say. So you can expect there'll be some cheaters, or some people may join with some seriousness, but they get in some position and then they exploit that for the wrong reasons. So we shouldn't think that that can't happen in ISKCON. Someone gets in a position and they utilize that position in a corrupt way and use the rules and regulations of the society, which are meant for regulating it so to stop non-devotional elements. They utilize the rules and regulations and the whole machinery of the society to stop people being actual devotees. And if people play their game, then they can come up in the organization and the whole thing becomes a scam. So that can happen. I believe in Croatia something like that is said to have happened over the last so many years, that the position is occupied by people whose aim is not to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission and benefit the conditioned souls as much as it is, if they have any such desire, but they're more interested in utilizing the apparatus of the organization for their own material power, profit, whatever. So it's almost inevitable that that will happen. It's almost inevitable, especially a religious organization, because people are actually interested in serving God, they're not much interested in power and position. And those who are interested in power and position, they know how to play the game, so they get the power and position. And once you're in that position, then you can use that to go on with your drama, and everything becomes very frustrating. So sometimes it may say, well, it's Vaishnava Parad, you shouldn't say like, but it's not Vaishnava Parad, just to open your eyes and see that some people in the name of Krishna consciousness are doing a scam. So if someone's cheating and they happen to have tilak on their nose and they're using that as a means to cheat others, then it's not Vaishnava Aparad to point that out and say that. And if you say that we should associate with such people, I say don't associate with such people. It'll damage your Krishna consciousness. And we see that in many places, the opportunity for spreading Krishna consciousness is tremendous opportunity, but the devotees who want to preach and spread Krishna consciousness are restricted from doing so from the persons who are in position and say, no, you can't do that, you don't have my permission. You can't come in our preaching area. They'll never preach in that area, but they won't allow you in that area. And if they do any preaching, it means collecting money. Whereas you know in India that in most temples, preacher is a synonym of someone who goes and collects money. They call them preachers, right? So this kind of thing is going on. Sorry, but these are facts. So we should try to find devotees. It can be very dangerous for a neophyte even to think about these things, but a newcomer or a neophyte, they're faced with this, immediately they come. So what do you do? You start a new organization in every generation. What is the solution? Try to make ISKCON pure. It can be a very difficult task. Sometimes just by pointing out the obvious, then everyone will label you as, you know, a demon, a Vaishnava Paradi, and all this kind of thing. Just by pointing out, even sometimes just by saying what's in Prabhupada's books, you're called a Vaishnava Paradi. I mean, for instance, you might, if you just happen to say that a guru means one who Shabde Pareta Nishna Tambramanya Pashama Shoyam. A guru means one who speaks according to Shastra and acts according to Shastra. And if you point that out, maybe putting a little spotlight on how some people are not doing that, and then you become an aparadi. So, truth can be very dangerous. Truth is painful. If we want to live according to the truth, it's going to be a lonely life. But the few people we have as friends, those friends are worth having. Whereas hundreds and thousands of friends and popular, you know, to be accepted in society, oh yes, very good. That kind of accolade is useless. Just to be accepted by a bunch of useless people. It's better to have one friend or two friends or no friends. What's that called? Facebook friend? Yeah, Facebook has redefined the meaning of friend, right? Becomes more and more shallow. So better to have no friends or one friend or two friends and live for reality rather than just playing the game. I mean, I think many of us came to Krishna consciousness because we are fed up of all this false friendship in this material world. Isn't it? People pretending to be something they're not. So we shouldn't start it. But again, for newcomers, it's very difficult. And that happens, I don't know about here in Croatia, but I hear so many things in India that people come, they read Prabhupada's books, they're attracted, and then they come and associate with devotees and they see the same kind of thing going on and they go away again. Someone comes and they're just taking up Krishna consciousness and someone sees that they're taking it up seriously and they say, hey, you have to come and take initiation from my guru. I'm saying, oh, really? And then someone else comes on and says, no, my guru is much better, you have to take initiation from him. And they just get disgusted and they go away. This happens all the time. Or they join some fanatical guru cult, and then their understanding of Krishna consciousness is again lost because it just becomes instead of being centered on Krishna, it's just centered on some fanaticism. Without any proper... The main thing becomes to say, Jai, whoever your guru is, and not try to understand anything what the guru is supposed to be teaching. It's just, Jai, our guru is the most... Our guru is the best. He's the real pure devotee. You don't have this so much in here. In India, it's like everywhere. The guru cults. Anyway, Hare Krishna. Sorry to sound so negative, but... There are a lot of bogus things going on around ISKCON. Sorry to say, but it's a fact. And if we don't recognize it, then we're going to get victimized by it. So chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But, keep your eyes open, and more important, keep your ears open. Hear the right things that need to be heard. Keep your intelligence alive. Buddha bhava samanvita. Bhava, before bhava becomes buddhi, intelligence. According to Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Yes. What else?
Sometimes we see that if you disassociate from this kind of devotees, then you lose opportunity for service locally.
You learn, lose opportunity for service if you don't associate.
Isolated.
Yeah, I know, it's a complex issue. I don't want to get into it so much. But yes. I don't want to get into it so much because, you know, general principles we can talk about. It can be difficult, no doubt. It's a difficult time. At the same time, we shouldn't just label everyone as just think I'm the only one or my small group. And there are many sincere devotees. But in some places, the movement has been hijacked by people who they may not even be aware they're doing it, but just they're so closed up in their consciousness that they're actually restricting Krishna consciousness, really. Like that. So, Hare Krishna. Anything else? Yeah. Why, yeah. Why does the GBC allow it? I don't know.
Who do we trust?
Good question. Well, at the same time, we have to see that it's not that you just pounce on someone immediately and smash them on the head, and there should be some attempt at rectification. And it's often devotees feel some frustration that situations are allowed to go on for years and years and years. So, I was actually speaking with one of my senior godbrothers about that last night. There are not so many of them here, so I guess you can guess who that was. How we need to have a more dynamic GBC who will actually take up issues. That doesn't mean we're going to start an inquisition, but that problems should be problems. I think it's a good idea to have an inquisition. That it sound like a sinister laugh. Where were you in your last life? It doesn't mean we're going to start an inquisition, but difficult inapt situations should be recognized and dealt with. Another problem is there are so few devotees who want to take up leadership service. It's difficult to find those who are ready to do it. That's also a point. Because, you know, I've just been talking about this for just a few minutes, right? And although it's necessary to discuss these things from time to time, it's not very enlivening, is it? You don't feel like enlivened, and we don't feel so much enlivened. Imagine if you have to deal with all these things. I mean, there's so many, you know, internal problems, and that's what you have to think about all the time. It's very difficult. It's very taxing on the consciousness that such and such a person in a leadership position is dealing in such a way, and then you're not even sure if the complaints are true, or then you have to investigate, you have to listen to all this stuff, and it's very difficult to find out who's actually right and who's wrong, and then to make some decision. You're afraid to make some decision. You might be wrong, you know, you're not sure if you're completely right, and what will be the effect of that. I mean, it's very difficult to be a leader, and rectification can be, sometimes in the name of rectification, we may make, if we're not very expert, we may make a worse mess. Or we may think the rectification may be worse than the present situation. That may be also. Sometimes you see a leader who's good in some ways, but in other ways the devotees under him are not very satisfied. Then you remove the leader, and then it just becomes all chaos. And then because the leader, although he may have certain imperfections, or may be somewhat personally motivated, but in other ways they're a good leader. They're a good organizer. So it can be that in some cases it's, you know, what is it? Caught between the devil and the deep blue sea, something like that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the main organizer of his mission, there's so many complaints against that devotee, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he kept him in the position because he was an expert organizer. Even though people were accusing he was stealing and so many things, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati kept him because whatever else he may have been, he was an expert organizer. And I saw actually here years ago, many years ago, that's in Zagreb, there was the temple president. There was discontent, so he was removed. And then the next time I came, the whole situation was much worse, because whatever the complaints against him may have been, he knew how to organize, and things were going on, but then just someone came in who was no one respected, and he wasn't a good organizer, and just the whole thing became chaotic, and things went on down from there. So it's easier to point out the fault than to rectify them, but at the same time certain things need to be dealt with. That sounds inconclusive? It is. It's not so easy. Why don't they do something about this? Well, if you actually get into the situation, it's not so easy. It's not so straightforward. And also, it may be that whatever, someone may be off track, you could say, but it's, to get people to come to devotional service is rare, so we don't want to just crush people. It was relatively easy when Prabhupada was there, because everyone respected his authority, but that's another problem, you know. So, yes, it would be good if there was a more, if problems were dealt with promptly. I agree. But at the same time, I didn't become a GPC. I could have, if I'd have stayed in that groove. I was also, you know, temple president. They used to have regional secretaries, and so if I'd have stayed in management, I could have become, and you know. But I chose not to, because I thought, well, I'm going to take sannyas, and every devotees are all complaining that sannyasis are all so much absorbed in management, so it'd be good to have some sannyasis who are not. And then I can, if I'm just doing traveling, preaching, writing, we need some sannyasis like that. And I also thought that, you know, these managerial problems, they come and go. Harishori Prabhu just gave that example. Whatever gain you may get in management is like a sand dune. It's there today and it's gone tomorrow. Whereas writing a book, if it's something substantial, not just, you know, some useless mental speculation, then it's like a sphinx. It remains for centuries. So I'm attempting to write books which deal with these perennial, well, among the books that I have in my, that I've started preparing are books which deal with the perennial problems that will continue to arise within ISKCON. So that may be a help. Just like Purnachandra Maharaj wrote some book, like something like that. Is that translated in Croatian?
Yeah.
So that's useful, isn't it? Helps you to understand things better. Keep focused on the essence throughout everything. Keep focused on the essence. Whatever ISKCON isn't that it should be, we can chant Hare Krishna and prepare to go to Krishna. And whatever difficulties may be there, there are always going to be some people within. Just like I sometimes make a comparison with the Gauriya Math, because I happened to. Well, just as because I was traveling in Bengal and Orissa for many years, and naturally we met. At that time, the Gauriya Math was mostly in Bengal and Orissa, and sometimes we'd stay in the mats overnight, and we'd meet so many people. And then for research for my Bhaktisiddhanta book, I met so many people like this. So my observation was that in ISKCON there are some very good, very sincere, very pure-hearted devotees, some very advanced devotees. They're not that many, but there's some. And there are many neophyte devotees, and there are many sincere devotees, and there are some complete rascals also. And in the Gauriya Math also. So there are a few who are like very, you know, very sincere, some who are very advanced. Maybe not even a few, there are many who are very sincere. And there are some who are materially motivated, and they're all different kinds, you'll find them everywhere. So that will always be there. You can't legislate that everyone should be a pure devotee. It's not by legislation, but by practical application in Krishna consciousness. So, find good association and stick with it. And for most of us, it'll be better to avoid all the, you know, there's so much politics. This, just like you can go on the internet and you can spend days probably looking around at all the different controversies in the Vaishnava world, and then the criticisms of this person and that person, which may or may not be true. You can't tell. But it doesn't really benefit us very much. Someone, if there will always be some real problems, and someone has to deal with that. But for most of us, although we shouldn't be blind, at the same time, if our consciousness is absorbed in this one did that wrong, that one did that wrong, and then it's not going to help. It's going to drag our consciousness down. So we don't want to make Vaishnava aparad. At the same time, we don't want to be blind. At the same time, we don't want to become absorbed in that which will not help us to become Krishna conscious. So we try to see the good in others, try to get good association, and since strive to become Krishna conscious. It's a fine line between being intelligent and observant and understanding how to avoid the kind of association which will drag us down, and being hypercritical. So it's a fine line, but we have to tread that, because that's the reality of our situation. If we're just naive, then we're going to be victimized. If we're overcritical, then again we're victimized by our own minds. So it requires, like I say, some fine intelligence. So books like that, Purnachandra Maharaj's book, will help us. But our main subject is Gita, Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, all these. That will help us. And Harinam, it's almost time for the arati. So let's have kirtan with the arati. Who's going to lead that? Hare Krishna Prabhu. We'll see. Maybe Pralananda Maharaj. Sorry to discuss all these things. In one sense, sorry. In another sense, not. These points are on people's minds. But it's not like we want to discuss these things over and over and over again. We could better to discuss, study Bhagavad. There's so much in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Who learned a verse recently? Anyone's been learning verses? Yeah, which verse did you learn? Atma udharet atmanatmanam avasadayet. I also, I'm struggling here. What is it? Atmaiva hi atmano bandhur atmanam ripuratmanaha. One should elevate oneself by the mind and not degrade oneself. The mind can be one's greatest enemy, greatest friend, or one's greatest enemy. So there's a verse which you just learned. And you learned sometime? Yeah. Anyone else learned some verses recently? Anyone's favorite verses? Satang prasangan mama virya sangvido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kataha tajoshvana dashva pavargavatmani shadha ratir bhaktir anukramishati. Every time we read through this Shad Goshami Ashtakam, and that last line, Goshantaviti Sarvato Vrajapuri Kedair Mahavivala. Actually, if you read Prabhupada's books and read all the Sanskrit and read the translations, and gradually you pick up many words, then when you sing some song like this, you can understand it to a large extent. So this word Ked, Goshantav, calling out, announcing, iti in this way, Sarvato, everywhere, Vrajapure, in Vraja, Keda means in a feeling of like hurt or regret, hurt in the heart or pain in the heart, Mahavivalo, being totally overwhelmed. So this Ked, this feeling of pain in the heart of the six Goswamis, that's what we're practicing Krishna courses to come to that level where we'll feel pain in our hearts. It seems very strange, right? But that pain is the most sweet, the highest level. So in Bhaktivinoda Thakur songs again and again there are such statements. Name anurag na janamilamo bhakti vinoda chitta dukha vibhor. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, after praising the holy name, how merciful is Krishna, he comes to us as his holy name. But then he says that attachment for the holy name never arose in my heart. So bhakti vinoda chitta dukha vibhor. Then that my heart is, my whole consciousness is overcome by sorrow. So this kind of state, this is a, the pain of the Goswami, the pain of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that they feel that the saying that Krishna is so close, that Hey Rad, Hey Rajal, Devi Kecha Lalite, Hey Nanda Sunakut, where are you? Where are you, Radharani? Where are you, Krishna? You're supposed to be here in Vrindavan. Where are you? I don't see you. We came here to get you, to find you. We didn't find you. So they're running all over Vrindavan, calling out like madmen in the pain that Krishna, he's so close, but we couldn't find him. So this pain is to be worshipped. This, all the pain we have of our mundane attachments, but we worship the consciousness of the great devotees. Pujala raga pata gaurava bhangi. This Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur summed that up, that we worship the devotees on the highest level of attachment to Krishna, going beyond the rules and regulations. So like this, if we can study these verses and beyond all this, he said that, they did this, someone's corrupt, that should be seen, that should be rectified, but beyond all that, we should sing Shad Goswami Asha, we should sing the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, read Prabhupada's books, remain focused on what we're actually here for. This is our great wealth. The acharyas have left us so much what we should aspire for. So, Hare Krishna, and we'll finish there. And all glories to Srila Prabhupada.